My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Hello and welcome to another edition of My Music with John Amos and Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. All the music in this opening round has associations with trains of various kinds, like, for instance, Pacific 231, Chattanooga Choo Choo, Ellington's A Train, but not those, of course. John, you know the composer of this film theme as a man whose abilities range from jazz to Boulez, who in fact taught him composition. Good tune. Do you know the train connection?
I bet Boulez didn't teach him to write just a plain waltz like that.
No, he didn't, no. Fortunately, he found
Although
it out by himself.
Although he has teamed up with Zappa, hasn't he? Mm-hmm. Frank Zappa, Boulez has. Mm. Have you heard that album?
Well, that's nothing to do with this, is it?
No, go on. Anyway, that was by Richard Rodney Bennett, and it's The Orient Express.
Yes, Murder on the Orient Express, the theme by Richard Rodney Bennett. Frank, this lady has been around, she says, too long. So she's going to catch a train to somewhere else.
Stayed around this old town too long. All the winter's gone, summertime's coming on. I'd have laid around, stayed around this old town too long. And I feel like it's time to travel on.
Frank, there's only one person in the world with that voice. Do you know who she is?
Yeah, she's French, or perhaps French Chinese, Delarise.
Della Reese. Ian, the Jimmy Giuffre Trio, not that that'll mean a lot to you, I suspect, playing The Train and the River. But can you identify the instruments?
Well, there's a tenor saxophone there.
Yes. I noticed your wife recognised that because she has reasons to recognise
the
tenor saxophone.
We hear a good deal of that in the house with my son John, who plays the baritone sax as well, so we get them both. Uh-huh. Baritone sax in its case has a curiously coffin-like appearance.
Yes, it does, doesn't it?
But a tenor sax folds away rather more decorously into something that looks as if you had some scientific instrument in there. There's a guitar there.
That's right.
And there's a third thing, isn't there?
Double bass. Tenor sax, guitar, and bass, Jimmy Giuffre Trio, The Train and the River. Dennis, I first heard this train music, personally speaking, at Radio City Music Hall in New York. I was watching Ronald Coleman as a railway official. Can you place it?
Yes, it was the Indian strain in there.
That's right. The India countryside.
Yes, he played one of the guest. Ronald Coleman played one of the guest parts for Mike Todd in Round the World in 80 Days. He played an Indian train official, and he only did an afternoon's work. And Mike Todd said, "Would you rather be paid for it, or would you like a yellow Cadillac?" And he said, "I'll have a yellow Cadillac." And somebody said to him, "Don't you think there's something rather indecent about getting a yellow Cadillac for an afternoon's work?" He said, "It was for a lifetime's work."
That's right. That's right. And so to five notes. In one key or another, they form the start of various tunes. John, you're not exactly a resident of Tin Pan Alley, but I think you must know what this tune is called, just the same.
Well, it's not on the dark side of the street, it's
no.
on the sunny
on
side.
On the sunny side of the street, yes. Frank, yours has a sort of inbuilt alternative title. That's an...
I have to go through the whole thing well, now.
That's the bit you're after.
It's a wet bank holiday.
Tooraloraloo, that's an Irish lullaby. Right.
Oh, yes, that as well.
Yes, that too. Ian, a martial version of those four starting notes.
Gracious. We had a record of that when I was a boy. I don't know why. I think it was because it was by the BBC Chorus.
Back 15 shillings in cost.
I'm not as old as that, Frank. No, it was. It's Bring the Good Old Bugle Boys and Play Another Song.
I think they blow the good old bugle.
Sing it with a spirit marching that will the world.
Yeah, you'll get to it. Yeah.
Isn't it called When We Were Marching
Through Georgia? It's called Irish Lullaby. It's called Marching Through Georgia.
Marching through Georgia.
General Sherman's famous march in 1864. Yeah. General Sherman said afterwards, you know, that if he'd known the tune was going to become so popular, he'd have marched round Georgia instead of through. Dennis, the same four notes, but entirely different stress.
Yes, the carrot. That's the American Forces Network late night program with Sergeant. Can you remember Steve? Oh, please don't write in and tell me.
It's
too affecting anyway. Sergeant. But it was the waltz and carousel. It was a signature tune of a late night program used to be heard on the American Forces Network.
Muffet Moffat. Saved a few letters. And it was the carousel waltz, as you said. Mm. Something very different now. A marvel, I think, by one of our greatest composers. Ian, be listening particularly to the singers, if you will, as I ask John and Frank their questions. John, a governess is singing to herself about her forthcoming job.
Very soon I shall know what's in store for me.
What's the point of those timpani, John?
They're supposed to represent, I imagine, the rumble of the carriage that the governess is travelling in towards Bligh.
The name of the opera, please?
Turn of the Screw.
By music.
Benjamin Britten.
Yes, thank you. Frank, as the narrator says in the prologue...
It is a curious story. I have it written in faded ink with a woman's hand. Governess to two children long ago.
Benjamin Britten, sir.
Well, a curious story, but whose original story and when was it published?
Henry James.
And give me a date.
James was quite early, much earlier than one thinks. He was late 19th century.
That's got it.
He's late 19th century. Which bit of the late 19th century?
1898.
Absolutely. My friend
says. Dead right. 1898, yes. And the Britten libretto by Mifanwy Piper. Ian, you've already heard the narrator and before that the governess. Here are Miss Jessel and Quint. Now, Ian, who are the four singers, or some of them anyway?
Well, I don't know the first one.
No, the narrator, Philip Langridge.
I thought the first one was I did know Philip Langridge.
Oh, you're right, of course. The governess.
The governess, whom I didn't know.
Helen Donat.
Ah. Yeah. And then the other two were fairly unmistakable.
Yes.
Heather Harper and Robert Teer.
Splendidly done.
Yes.
Absolutely right. Yes. Dennis, the ending of this opera is, I think, marvellously chilling.
Peter Quint! You devil!
What did the turn of the screw become in 1961, Dennis, and who played a governess, and not for the first time?
Oh, the film, you mean? Yes, yes.
That's right.
Well, the film was Jack Clayton. It was a wonderful version of it. Jack Clayton, The Innocents, with Deborah Kerr playing governess, where he did this wonderful thing where you never really saw, or you were never sure that you saw anything strange happening. It was one of the most atmospheric things. But there was, I thought, quite an interesting version of it that Michael Winner did, The Nightcomers, where all the emphasis was on Quint and the children and not so much on Miss Jessel. That was with Marlon Brando.
Why did I say that Deborah Carr played a governess not for the first time?
Well, presumably you were trying to guide me towards Anna and the King of Siam.
Yes, I was. That's right. Yes, the King and I.
I wonder if Dennis knows who the film star was who played the little boy Miles in the original version of the opera many, many, many years ago.
No. You tell me, John.
When he was a kid, it was David Hemmings.
Oh, yes, that's right. He was with he did a lot of opera work. Yeah,
shouldn't it be The King and Me?
Now for one of those rounds in which I sing, or vocally indicate, might be a better way of putting it, the lead-in notes to a popular song, and you provide the next line, or the rest of the line. All these songs are by Cole Porter. John, it was
a dead loss to me.
You're not being just to yourself.
It was just...
Just one.
One more things?
Just
one of those things. We'll give him that.
Fabulous
thing. Yes, I've got it, Mary. We'll give it
one
to him.
One of the... Frank. Now and then, going.
You know, do you remember, Frank?
It's like working with a dog.
We once wrote a show for the Crazy Gang that included a sketch, and Teddy Knox put a gag in, and this was a kind of mysterious sketch set in the Mystic East, and he described this Indian god which had five arms and three legs and two heads, but, and the orchestra played, just one of those things. Remember that?
And John wondered what they were laughing at. Where were we? Oh, yes. Four songs by Cole Porter and me doing the lead-in notes. Frank, your turn. You'd be
so nice to come home to.
That's the way to ask it. Lovely, thank you very much. Right, Ian. I love the
moon.
No, not Cole Porter. I love the
looks.
Help him, Dennis.
Of you.
Yes, all of you, it's called. Right.
Sorry, I didn't score.
No, you got it because your side got it.
Take a bonus. Yeah.
Dennis, this is a difficult one, but it's still Cole Porter.
Ready?
What? I'm trying to do it in a sort of accent. What?
A boy.
You mentioned the Crazy Gang not very long ago. Think of Flanagan and Allen. What?
What? Say, let's be buddies.
That's the one.
What?
Right,
say,
good. Let's be buddies. I rather like this. Let's go round again. This time with songs by Irving Berlin. John, come on and
dance.
Here, here.
Alexander's Ragtime Palais de Danse. Yes. Come on in here. You know it, do you, Alexander? Frank, you've got that, haven't you?
Yeah,
Alexander's
Ragtime. Yeah, that's fair.
Right, Frank, a difficult one for you. I left my heart.
I left my trousers in Grand Central Station. Or my heart in San Francisco.
I left my...
Heart in the stage door.
At the stage door canteen. You just got that right. Ian, very brisk for you. Right.
Well, it's a lovely day today.
That's got it. Lovely. Yes. And Dennis, a quick one for you. I've got the
guy who used to be my captain working for me.
That's right. The sun in the morning and the moon.
Well, yes, but not those notes.
Didn't he write, it's a lovely day tomorrow?
It's a lovely day tomorrow, but not on those notes. Just in case the audience feels left out of it, here's one for you. Irving Berlin's song that begins, What'll I? See, it's easy, isn't it? Easy. Mrs. Rita Hetherington wrote to me from King's Swinford, recalling her school days. Apparently the headmistress disapproved of the word passion. And she didn't care to hear her girls singing the word. She preferred the word feeling. So, in her school, the hymn lines, love with every passion blending pleasure that can never cloy, became love with every feeling blending pleasure that could never cloy.
Worse.
Well, I think so, but still, there we are. Leaving hymns aside, I wonder if you, gentlemen, could clean up some song line or other, or title. Just to start you, I mean, Ian, you know, you've been known to sing a song which I think might be called The Snowy Chested Pearl, if you really want to get rid of the naughty words,
yes,
you see.
Really, all the songs that I've sung in my lifetime have been perfectly suitable for girls' schools. And indeed, I have sung in various girls, because I suppose the one that, if one felt they were very sensitive and the headmistress was rather edgy, the one one might possibly change is rather on the same lines as you were saying. On a tree by a river, a little Tom Chest. Saying willow, chest willow.
I'm sure she'd approve of
meat.
I've got onto your side. Let's stay on your side for a change. Dennis, what do you think?
I've been thinking hard. I can't think of, all I can think of is the ones that did get cleaned up by various radio. American radio was even worse than the BBC for at that time, for changing the words of songs. And I can remember Heatwave, when that came out, the first line, the line that went, she started a heat wave by making her seat wave. You had to sing, by making her feet wave. And over here, that song, why don't we do this more often? Just what we're doing tonight. That had to be changed to today.
You were not allowed to broadcast. You know, there were lots of on the labels for the BBC. There were lots of labels on records which had track 2 and 4 must not be broadcast, just categorically like that. Mm-hmm. And I remember one of them, which I was very surprised that you were not allowed to broadcast, was June is busting out all over.
Chesting out all over.
Yes.
The man who stuck those labels on and who had that rule, I'll tell you, 15 or more years ago, I did a program for a while in which I did the first 2 hours of a record show, and then Jimmy Young did the second 2 hours. And at the handover period, we used to overlap a bit, as one does. And I remember Jimmy saying to me, I've kept the seat warm for you, Steve. And there was a message from this gentleman in the morning, we don't want that kind of thing. Well, having spoiled everything for you, John, I come to you at last.
I just wanted to go back to that. I was given some records when I was in Australia of Aboriginal music and chants, and one of them said track number 9, incantation. This should not be played without prior consultation of the chief. And I often wondered, supposing I broadcast that, you know, would...
Uprising.
Would the whole... the whole building fall down or something? But as a matter of fact, going back to the other, I think passion is I mean, I think feeling is a rather nasty word.
No.
I mean, it could be very rude. I think the song really ought to be sung, I've got a passion, I'm falling.
Yes.
I've got a passion. And then what about, let's turn out the lights and go to sleep? Because that was cleaned up, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's turn out the lights and go to church.
I don't think they went that far. Frank, what have you got for us?
Well, I think the Americans are so much better at euphemisms. You know, they do really put everything into euphemisms. And I would like to suggest a song. You can bring Rose with a turned up nose, but don't bring Comfort Station, Comfort Station.
Yes. Right. It's time to pack up all your cares and woe, because we have four final songs, or snatches of songs, for your pleasure, according to taste. Here's the first.
Pack up all my care and woe, here I go, singing along. Bye, bye, blackbird. When somebody waits for me, she's as sweet, so is she. Bye, bye, blackbird. No one here can love or understand me. Oh, what hard luck stories they all hand me. I'm the light, make the bed, switch the light off when you said blackbird.
Shimmy tempo, it says, at the head of this excerpt from the Brecht Weill Threepenny Opera. I'll do my best for you, John.
Right. Hi.
All right, here we go.
Too lazy to learn all the words.
Cole Porter, 1930, that's the composer and the date for Dennis's song about the indoor life.
From Saturday until Monday, I'm what the sportsman abhors. A weekend hater, thanking my creator for the great indoors. While the others are rushing from bathing suits to plus fours, I'm glad I own a comfortable kimono for the great indoors. The breeze may die, but what care I? I've got a big electric fan. If passing by, come in and try biting your initials on my artificial tan instead of wrecking my system by playing games with old bores. I take no chances sitting on my Francis in the great indoors.
A.E. Housman, the words, Graham Peel, the music, rapturous music too, I think. In Summertime on Breeden. Brilliant.
In summertime on Breeden, the bells they sound so clear. Round all the shires they ring them in steeples far and near. A happy noise to hear. Here of a Sunday morning, my love and I would lie and see the colored panties
church, good people, all noisy bells be gone. I hear you.
Happy noise to hear, as the verse said. Happy news, too. The victory this week goes to Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye. Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.